opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And Gattis is on. He becomes the first base runner for Houston tonight. That'll send up Luis Valbuena. The pitch. Swing. High drive. Deep right field. Rios back at the track all the way back, and it's gone! Valbuena blasting one out of here. A two-run homer, 2-0 Houston here in the second inning. 3-2 again. Kane takes off. Swing, a little looper to center field. That'll drop down. A base hit. Kane rounding second. He's into third. Gomez went down on the seat of his pants. Here's the throw into second. Not to be made to the plate, and the run comes in to score. Two men in scoring position for Kansas City. If they both score, they take the lead. Here's the pitch. Swing and a chopper along third. Fair on top of the chalk line down the left field line. That's going to score two. Perez is in. Gordon is in. That's going to be a double for Rios. Kansas City leads it. 3-2 in the fifth inning. They'd like another run or two. A little more breathing room going to the ninth inning. Here's the pitch. Swing and there's a shot. Drilled into left center. Toward the alley. Back it goes. It is gone. A home run. A three-run bomb by Morales. And it opens it up in Kansas City. Here's Springer swinging a high fly ball to right. Backing up Orlando, heading for the track to the wall. He makes the catch. He slams into the wall. He held on. And the Kansas City Royals are going back to the American League Championship Series.
Well, that was fun while it lasted. At least you have the Texans to look forward to. Hey, let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Thursday, and I'm guessing a lot of you were up late last night and probably had to stumble into work today and weren't feeling all that great about it. But you know what? It's a beautiful day outside. It's damn hot, but it's a beautiful day outside. And it was a hell of a ride while it lasted. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, it was, would it have been more fun if it kept going? Of course. But, you know, as I said all year long, you never expected them to get to where they were. You know, at the end of the day, they pushed the best team in the American League to an elimination game. And they are clearly ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
You know, so
and there's every reason to think that they'll be better next year.
Right. And there's every
reason. For the first time in forever.
There's every reason to think that they've got, and this is the beauty of this, what they did this year. And no, they didn't get to the World Series. No, they didn't get to the ALCS. But they showed enough that it warrants dumping some money into this thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, obviously there's money that you're going to have to spend eventually on guys like Correa and Keuchel.
But you're still a few years away on Correa. And yeah, Keuchel, it's going to cost you an arbitration, but it's his first time in arbitration, so you're not going to get broke on that.
Right.
You're going to get value for him, for a guy who's probably winning the Cy Young.
But I'm saying, like, over the next several years, you're going to have to figure out a way to pay those guys.
3 to 4 or 5 years from now,
real money. But you can start... you can start to add in some free agents into this thing because your core is there. And there's, you know what, the Royals are a better team than them right now. I mean, are the Royals going to be a better team than them 3 years from now? I don't know.
Well, see, the Royals are going to have a problem that the Astros won't have to deal with at the end of this season. They're going to have to pay some guys.
Yeah, the Royals built their team very similarly to the way the Astros have built theirs. The Royals were crappy for a long time. And they built through the draft. They drafted Alex Gordon. They drafted Eric Hosmer. You know, they drafted Mike Moustakas. These were top prospects that they panned out. And, you know, eventually you see what the Royals have become. And to me, it gives you a lot of hope. And, you know, I think, and the Astros, not only that, the Astros play in a bigger market than the Royals, which presumably means that they should be able to spend more money than the Royals do, you know, when it comes time to add to these things. So, you know, it's not winning, but if you're going to lose, you at least showed enough to warrant saying, you know what, we're on the right track. Let's get all in on this team.
And now we'll see how serious Jim Crane is about spending money.
Yes.
Because
let me tell you, the team as it stands today is not a championship team. They're a good team, and they're young, and they played with a lot of hunger. But they need to add to this to make it a championship team. Like, as it stands now, if you run back the season, you know, this is not a team that's going to win a championship, you know, with the same 25 guys, which obviously they're not going to have.
Right. But if you're playing MLB The Show and you're simming this out every year, you might win one out of 25 with this team.
Maybe. But, I mean, I think you agree they overachieved this year based on the personnel that they have. Like, they played, like, Correa was better than damn near anyone could have expected for a rookie. You know, eventually we like to think that Correa can be this great thing. But did you really see him playing this well his rookie year, hitting 20 home runs? I didn't.
I don't think that was unexpected, though.
Did you really see Dallas Keuchel turning into Johan Santana this year? I didn't. You know, I knew he was a good pitcher, but I didn't think that he was going to be the Cy Young winner and go 16-0 at home, because you'd be a dummy to think something like that, because that just doesn't happen. And everybody's blossoming. It's a good story. And I think that personnel has to get better to continue the upward climb, but the core guys that you've got in place are the core guys, and not a lot of guys have that. A lot of teams are have it. Like, I mean, you look how teams like the Red Sox build, and they're grabbing willy-nilly free agents and right, trying to build a core. The Astros have a core built, and it's essentially Altuve, Correa, Keuchel. And
I think you can throw, as far as your positions go, I think you can throw Springer. I think you can throw McCullers into that.
I think those guys are going to be around, but I mean, Springer played half a season, so I'm not. I don't know that I'm counting him as a core guy yet. I think that he's got the potential to continue to develop to be one of those guys, and I don't think you. I'm not saying he's a guy you need to go replace.
Well,
because
when you say a core, I'm thinking these are the guys we're putting out there every day that we can pencil them into these positions and not have to think about it.
Okay,
and I think I'll put him
in that group then.
And I think McCullers belongs in that group because that's a guy who has.
I think McHugh belongs in that group.
I think
group.
McHugh does as well. But McCullers is one of those guys that I think you can count on to get better. And that's why when I look at this, yeah, did you expect Keuchel to do that? No. And did Correa probably overperform what you were expecting? Yeah. But I think when you go into next year, McCullers can, for a whole season, if he continues to develop, that's a guy who can be better. And there's a lot of guys like that. You know, I think Preston Tucker could get better. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't.
Yeah.
But that's a guy who maybe he's a key contributor next year. Velasquez is another one, I think, with that guy's arm. So there's guys who can be better. I think Springer can be better than what he was this year. Of the other guys, is there anyone you can say, boy, that guy really exceeded expectations? When you start talking about Evan Gattis or, you know, these secondary guys that I don't consider core guys, but, you know, Gattis, did he?
I think Jake Marisnyk is better than what you thought you'd get out of him. And really, Tucker, when he was playing more regularly, I think you may have gotten more out of him than you expected.
But there's not a lot of guys that I think you look at this group and say, wow, he had a career year. I think Keuchel definitely.
Keuchel had a career year.
And maybe Luke Gregerson, but ideally that's not your closer next
right.
year.
No, he's not a guy that you want to be in the ninth inning. But, you know, I've said this for a long time about this team, and even when they got Scott Feldman, and they paid Scott Feldman on a team that was just junk, but Scott Feldman was essentially penciled in as their number one starter. Scott Feldman will never be a number one starter for a contending baseball team, ever. In his whole life, he will never be that. Now they have an ace. They have a number one guy.
Well, now he's competing for the five spot on this rotation.
Yeah,
which is
ideal.
Because if you look at it, just going into next year, Keuchel, McHugh, and I'm assuming Scott Kazmir is gone.
I don't think he'll be back.
And I don't
unless he comes back for a significant discount, which is possible.
Yeah, but I don't see any reason to bring him back, frankly, because if you already look at it this way, I think Fiers is a pretty good four,
mm-hmm.
and you've got Keuchel, McHugh, McCullers right at the top. do you really need to bring back Scott Kazmir when maybe Velasquez becomes your fifth? Maybe Appel's finally ready. Maybe it's Feldman. I mean, that's you've actually got guys who are in competition for that position. Would I like to see another veteran? Yeah, but is it a necessity? Probably not.
I don't think it's a necessity, but that is the one thing I liked about Kazmir is he's the one guy who really had some experience. And, you know, did he meet expectations once he got to Houston? No. I mean, he was a bit of a disappointment. But at the end of the day, that guy pitched 180-something innings this year, which is more than you can say for most guys on that staff. You know, Feldman isn't going to give you that anymore because he doesn't seem to be able to finish a season. I don't know how comfortable they are with McCullers, you know, stretching him out all the way yet. I mean, I like to think by this time next year that he can be a full-time player, but who knows how careful they want to be. I don't think pitching depth is ever a bad thing to have, though.
No.
Especially with a left-handed strikeout guy.
But if he's – I guess it depends on how much you – would actually spend on him because I don't think he's worth a huge contract.
He's lost a lot of money for himself.
He has. And you know who had until last night was Johnny Cueto.
Yep.
I guess he's earned it all back.
Boy, Johnny Cueto looked like Cincinnati Reds Johnny Cueto.
Yeah, that was as sharp as I've seen him after he gave up that home run. And he's had some games like that in the past where you just
that home run was the only ball that was hit well off of him all night.
And
the only reason it was a two-run homer is because Moustakas rushes a throw to first base that he didn't have to. And they didn't call it an error, but it was damn near an error. And then he makes one mistake pitch the whole night, and he got crushed for it. But the rest of the game, he's just a monster. And there were people saying, oh, the Astros bats need to wake up.
No, that wasn't it at all.
I mean, yeah, the Astros bats would have, sure, that would have been nice, but sometimes the pitcher is just better than the hitters. That was the case last night.
A really good pitcher who's on his game is almost impossible to beat. And you see
and
it all
Astros
the time.
Fans know about that with Keuchel.
Yeah.
Johnny Cueto is as good. When he's at his best, he's as good or better than Dallas Keuchel at his best. And last night he was at his best.
And that was the thing. Once it got to be 2-0, like, boy, this better hold up. And there were so many little things. And the Royals do that so well where they manufacture runs. And that's something I think I'd like to see the Astros get better at. You're never going to have a lineup like they have where they may not have a superstar hitter, but they don't have an easy out.
Right.
In that entire lineup. But I'd like to see a couple of guys.
Alex Rios is your nine hitter.
Yeah. I would just like to see a couple guys in this lineup that hit for average, that move base runners, that do little things like that, because that's when other teams make mistakes. Hell, we saw the Rangers do it yesterday. That's when other teams start making mistakes, and you look up and you got runs. And so many of those were close plays. And what was George Springer doing playing so shallow with a shift to the right side? And you let that ball get over your head. But that's what the Royals do. And, hey, they're a hell of a team. And I think it's going to be a great series with the Blue Jays. And I think, Astros fans should be happy with what they saw. But this team can get a lot better. And now we'll see if they're willing to spend some money. And I don't think they need to add a ton.
I don't either.
But there's a couple things if they can add and spend some money on them that would make a huge difference next year.
Yeah, in the Royals starting lineup, the lowest batting average this season was .257.
Which, that's greater than how many in the Astros lineup?
A ton.
Yeah.
A ton.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also text the show that way. And have some fun today. It was a good ride, man. That was made for an exciting time when there wasn't a lot going on. And I'm encouraged for the future of this team. So made baseball relevant in Houston again. And I think if it were up to me, if I were Jeff Luhno, I'd like to get a really big arm for the back end of the bullpen.
You know, I was thinking about this during the break. Is it possible Scott Kazmir could be a bullpen arm, a closer?
I don't know.
Because maybe asking him to pitch less innings, he gets his velocity back up into the mid-90s. Maybe you got a weapon there. He's got closer stuff, for sure.
Yeah, I just think somebody's going to pay him a bunch to come be a starter. And
maybe they do.
And that's not a guy I would pay a lot of money to. Having seen what I did out of him, I think I just... if he was willing to come back for, less than Scott Feldman money, $8-9 a year, I might think about a 2-year deal for that and try that. But I don't think that's going to happen. But I would do that with a lot of those guys, with Velasquez, all those ones who aren't in the, who are in the running for the fifth spot, except for Feldman, because I don't think he's got that kind of arm. But the ones with the best arms, I'd have them out there in spring training.
So you feel comfortable? You're not looking to get a starting pitcher in here?
I don't think you need one. I think you've got enough. And I also think what you would be doing is, if you go in with what you already have into next year, if you get close to the trade deadline again, I think you're in position. If you need that guy, you've got enough prospects where you make that move then. You get yourself another rental. You try to do what you did with Kazmir. And I would point out the Cueto thing wasn't working for the Royals. He had a terrible stretch for them. But last night, he was terrific, and that's what you brought him in for. You'd hoped you'd get that out of Kazmir in one of his starts. It didn't happen, but maybe next year. Who knows who's available? Just like the Jays did with David Price, you go out and get another guy if you're in contention, and I think they will be in contention.
I mean, the start. This is a good year to look for starting pitching, at least top-tier starting pitching. Zach Greinke's going to be a free agent. I don't think the Astros will be in on a guy like that. You're talking about a guy you're going to be paying $25 million.
Anybody that you're going to have to compete with the Red Sox, Yankees, or Dodgers for,
right?
I think you just cross them off your list.
Jordan Zimmermann will be a free agent. Johnny Cueto, Mike Leake, John Lackey, David Price will be a free agent. Wei-Yin Chen will be a free agent. I know this sounds crazy because he's been here before, but Jay Happ will be a free agent. If you're looking for a lefty, there's a ton of them out there. But you think they're good?
I think their starting rotation going into next year is fine.
Okay, what about bullpen guys?
Bullpen guys, I want somebody who can bring some heat at the end.
Okay, well, remember, Tony Sipp and Oliver Perez are free agents.
Yeah, I bring Sipp back. Okay. I like him as your left-handed guy. Perez was a rental. He can go. And I think if you've got Gregerson, Neshek, those guys, if they're not ninth inning guys, they're good guys to have.
There's a guy who's been a setup man, but Darren O'Day, his peripheral numbers, his wins above replacement and things like that are really through the roof, and he might be the best right-handed pitcher available. There's not a ton. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Not a ton available as far as relief pitchers. Darren O'Day, Joachim Soria, Tyler Clippard, Ryan Madsen will be available.
I like O'Day. I also think you might be in the trade market there if the Reds.
You might be.
And I know the Reds talked about moving Chapman at the deadline. If that's the Reds are going
to
move.
But are you willing to give up? We just talked about those core guys. That's what they'll want.
I think you're looking at
giving up a prize for that guy. That's a guy who's still under team control and is a freak.
You'll have to outbid other teams, and that's where you'll have to make that call and decide whether or not it's worth it.
Antonio Bastardo is a left-hander. He'll be available. I mentioned Tony Sipp. Neil Kotz are the other left-handers. Okay, you feel like you've got your right fielder for,
yes,
going forward. You've got a center fielder right now in Carlos Gomez.
And he's under contract for next year, so I think you just plug him in too.
Okay. You look at the left fielder, Cespedes, Justin Upton, Alex Gordon, going to be free agents.
Gordon's a guy who intrigues me out of those because he's a different kind of hitter from what they have. He plays left like it's center.
He's almost wasted in left field in Houston, though, defensively.
Although,
you're talking about the best defensive left fielder in baseball, and you put him in left field in Minute Maid. It's almost silly, but that's a guy I like a lot. He's a 270, 280 guy. He's got a little bit of power. I think Cespedes is interesting, too. He's another guy who's a good defender, especially got a good arm. He's a big home run guy, 35 home runs, but he also hit 290. Like, he's probably the best outfield prospect overall available the market.
And their outfield.
And he's 29.
Their outfield prospects are still a little bit of ways, with the exception of Tucker. And yeah, so that might be an area I'd look at, depending on how much you're willing to spend.
Okay. You're good at shortstop.
I think so, yeah.
You want to upgrade third base, right?
Wouldn't mind upgrading third base. But again, you do have some guys, and I still think Colin Moran's not that close, but maybe that's the guy who develops into that long term. I think you could get better there, yes.
That is one position that is pretty lacking on the free agent market this year.
But again, they make a lot of trades. They did with Gattis last year, and I think you'll see them move some of these prospects that they have to get some guys who might fill into those roles.
David Fries, Daniel Murphy, who spent a lot of time at second base but is just terrible defensively there, has been better at third base defensively. He's available. He's a 280 hitter. Juan Uribe, Mark Reynolds, who I feel like they've got 100 of the same guy as Mark Reynolds. They don't need that. Second base, you're obviously good. First base, Fred.
Well, first base, I think that's an area you need to upgrade. Now, I know they're all very high on A.J. Reed, but who knows if he's going to develop into anything. I think as far as Chris Carter's concerned, you bring him back next year and hope he gets beat out. But that's a position where I'd like to see an upgrade. And I think you could. And you know what an upgrade would be? If Chris Carter would have been Chris Carter from last year.
You know what I think an upgrade would be? And this is, people probably laugh at this because he's an old dude and he's clearly not the same guy he once was. But Justin Morneau, it was basically relegated to backup first base duties in Colorado this year. But he hit .310. He's still a really good hitter. He doesn't have the power he used to have. But I mean, in that lineup, do you need everybody to hit 30, 40 home runs? Wouldn't it be nice to have a guy who could just, you know, get you a hit one out of every three times? Wouldn't that be nice?
Be kind of okay.
You could use that. Okay, and then what about catcher, Fred?
Well, I think Castro as a defensive player this year really took a big step forward. I can live with his defense. And if you can upgrade the other positions, I think you can get by with that. You're not going to get all stars at every position. Nobody does. But for what he did defensively, I think he was a plus. Offensively, not so much, but that's catcher, right?
Right.
Most teams say that about shortstop. And you're going to get plus production from a shortstop. So I think you can afford to have no production from a catcher.
Okay. All right. Well, we've covered all the bases then, Fred.
There you go.
Your team's good. You're good to go.
It's not my team, but all right. So here's what you'd be looking to pay for a Chapman, because here's what Craig Kimbrell went for. Carlos Quinton and Cameron Maben, plus two minor leaguers.
I don't think the Reds will give him up for that. I don't think they will. The Braves basically said, we're doing a full-on rebuild. They got rid of everybody.
What's going to stop the Reds from doing that?
They got rid of Justin Upton. They got rid of essentially everybody on that team. But
my point is, that's the same caliber guy.
He is,
At least he was until he got to San Diego.
Yeah, it's just not the same situation. Like, if the Reds, you know, before they move him, say, all right, well, we're going to trade Joey Votto and Todd Frazier, and then they're like, okay, well, does anybody want Chapman? But, you still have a core of Votto and Phillips and Frazier and Billy Hamilton. Like, they still have a pretty good squad there. I don't think they're looking to blow that thing up all the way.
Well, what they might want to do, though, is especially since most closers don't last that long, get rid of one of those two big contracts as part of the deal that they're trying to get rid of, and you're not really hurting yourself that much. If you can shed some salary, which they may be looking to do, and say, okay, yeah, we'll give you Chapman, but you got to take on this too.
Yeah.
Then I don't know that the price would be that ridiculous. Anyway. All right, guys.
It'll definitely be higher than Carlos Quinton, I can tell you that.
Yeah, but again, we're talking about closers, and they don't get traded very often because usually they just kind of break down and they're done.
Right, and the Kimbrel thing was like a big surprise to everybody.
Yeah,
but it was basically the Braves throwing up the white flag and saying, "Listen, we got rid of everybody. We're not competing this year. We're trying to save some dough. Can we get anything back?"
And who knows if the Reds are going to do that though? The fact that they at least listened to offers for him would make me—I'd be on the phone with him as soon as the World Series is over, because that's a guy. If you add that, I think that makes such a huge difference because it trickles down to everybody else. But I don't know that you need to do that.
But you have seen the importance of shortening the game with a good bullpen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the Royals will teach you that. I mean.
Well, and especially if you have good enough starting pitching, that if you're getting six good innings out of Colin McHugh and six good innings out of Scott Feldman and whomever, and you've got those guys back there and can go to them, and then, you know, then Keuchel goes 8-1 day or McCullers goes 8-1 day, it makes a big difference during the course of a season.
After this break, I kind of want to talk about how they handled McHugh last night and if you would have pulled him when they pulled him, because I'm not so sure.
I think I would have pulled him sooner.
Okay.
But we'll talk about
that. There's a discussion to be had then.
All right. Right now, I got to tell you about how you can fall into savings and a great night's sleep at Texas Mattress Makers. And you've heard me talk about Texas Mattress Makers before. You're going to save from 5 to 50% off of factory prices. Real savings when you buy straight from the factory at Texas Mattress Makers. Sure, you could go to a retail store. You're going to pay a lot more money. They're going to mark it up on you. You're not going to get a custom-fitted mattress. You're not going to get something that's going to help you sleep better. And you're not going to save money. Well, Texas Mattress Makers, you are going to sleep better. You're going to get a great mattress made with quality products right here in Houston and sold directly to you from the factory. And in fact, when you go to Texas Mattress Makers, you see the factory. You see them being made right there, and they're going to sell them directly to you. And you could do something really good. For every purchase of $500 or more, Texas Mattress Makers is donating a bed to a Houston child in need. Apparently, this is amazing to me that there's more than 20,000 children under the age of 16 waiting for a bed and unable to afford it in Houston alone. Well, you go buy a new mattress, spend more than $500. Guess what? You're going to take care of one of those 20,000 kids. And like I said, you're going to save a bunch of money, and you're going to get a great mattress. Tell them I sent you. They're going to make you a great deal. Texas Mattress Makers, go see them over at 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood, or you can check them out at texasmattressmakers.com. Say hello to Yuval and the gang. Tell them you heard about them on the Blitz. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price.
Hello, friends. My name is Wooly B. I've been around sports betting since the age of three.
And we are back on the Blitz. You know what that song means. It's time for Wooly B. FatSideOfTheBacon.com. Talk a little gambling. Be back to the Astros talking a bit. What's going on, Wooly?
Hello, friends.
Hello, Wooly.
Been a good 2 weeks. Always around my birthday weekend when that calendar changes. We tighten down the screws. The rules get a little better. Y'all been getting the plays. Hey, a lot of people said they liked how I gave them that basket of dogs last week that went 2-1 with UT winning straight up. I got another basket for you this week in the pros. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Well, here we go. Totals, which AJ just loves when I do totals, because I haven't been that good in totals, actually, in the pros in the last couple of years. But, if he's laughing, in the, you know, when the total's in the 50s, the rule says go over. It happens about 60% of the time. It's actually 1-4 this year. We've played three of them. We're 1-2, our lone winner being on the Giants and the Cowboys. Well, there's a basket of three of them this week. And lo and behold, you know what? AJ, you might have to agree with these, and it all starts tonight. Hint, hint. Get out for the peeps. It's actually gone. We put it out at 51. It's gone 52. Pros are moving it the right way. That's the first game in the pros that actually has a five handle on it. So we're going to go over Saints and Falcons. Then we have a five handle with the Packers and the Chargers. And we got a five handle to wrap us up with the Colts and the Patriots on Sunday night. I tell everybody, people, if you do one, you got to do them all, just like the three dog basket I gave you last week that went 2-1. You play one, play all three. I think it has a chance to go 3-0. What do y'all think?
I do like the over tonight, and I don't mind any of those.
I just have a hard time with the Chargers The Chargers were just inept offensively on Monday night, and have been in a couple games this year. They've been very hit or miss offensively. I'm not crazy about betting a big total with them, and their defense looked good enough last week against Pittsburgh that, you know, that's a tough call, that one. And I got burned last week on Patriots Cowboys over.
Yeah,
I thought that would just be a shootout, and the Cowboys were just inept offensively.
AJ, did you do that because I put out? Or were you kind of firing that way anyway?
No, I was going that way anyway. Yeah, okay, I was so on.
Yeah, you know what?
Pats and over was mine.
And so many times, AJ, when a rule doesn't come through for me, and you heard me say that, and it's not just BS, and I got to stick with it the next week, especially since they put it out at 55, which is actually the high total on the board, and the high total on the board has been 1-4 this year also. So somehow, some way, you watch Andrew Luck. They've got him already over the last 2 weeks. He's going to play, and I think we do have a shootout on Sunday night.
Got three college games tonight, and, you know, we like these Thursday night home dogs. Is there anything about either Kentucky getting 2 at home against Auburn or North Texas getting 34.5 against Western Kentucky as home dogs that does anything for you?
Holy cow, Western Kentucky has been a money maker. Western Kentucky was our first play of the year, if you remember.
Yep.
Squeaked by Vanderbilt. I put it out at +3, and it went to -2 by kickoff. They won by 2. Hopefully people money line. We've been a big fan of the Hilltoppers all year. We're not going to jump off that. I'm not saying to lay 30-something on the road, but North Texas is a mess. And if you notice, the pros took this from 31 to 34. If you did anything tonight, like it, don't love it, I would play Western Kentucky, so no dog there. Yeah, I would play Kentucky over Auburn. I think Auburn has issues, obviously not as strong as what people thought. So I think that's a legit home dog. The one game we are going to play, though, a lot of percentages. I tell you, with Miles Jack out, I was hesitant about doing this, but there are so many percentages that point in the way of UCLA getting the points. If it's 7 by the half, to 7.5. If it's 6.5, at least get 7. I think it's a ball game tonight. I know Stanford's been coming around, but I like UCLA and the points tonight in college football.
I like UCLA as well. I also like the over in that Kentucky-Auburn game, over 52. I think you got some pretty shoddy defenses, and you've seen Kentucky has been able to put up a lot more points than past Kentucky teams.
I totally agree with that. And just to let everybody know, for everyone that's listening right now, by the way, fatsideofthebacon.com, I've had some people ask me, Willie, I've heard you on the radio. You never say your site. There's a lot of new people. Fatsideofthebacon.com. Our clients are not getting this because I've already put out Thursday, Friday plays. I didn't have anything officially. When I did this last night, I put it out. But you know what? The more I look at this game, it's gone from 7 to 6.5. After UCLA tonight, here's a little feather in the cap for everyone listening today. I really like Cincinnati plus the points tomorrow at BYU. I know that's a road team on the road, but to go from 7 to 6.5, we don't get there tonight with UCLA. I actually like Cincinnati as much, if not more, to come back with the points tomorrow as a dog on Friday night.
I don't mind that one either. Any thoughts on Tulane getting 19.5 at home against my Houston Cougars?
Well, the only thing that scares me here, Fred, is, you know, there's sites out there and they show the money. And over 70%, it's almost 75% of the betting public in America has put their money with the Cougars, and why not? Tulane does not have a good defense. But to be on the road, to lay this many points, I can't pull the trigger and say I love it. Now, the pros have taken it from 17 to 19, but again, the caveat that I look at a lot is when I see over 70% on a certain team, most of the time that just doesn't bode well. So that's just going to be a pass for me, and let's just hope that the Cougars keep rolling.
Well, speaking of that 70%, I saw something today from one of the guys who makes books out there in Vegas that over 90% of money has come in on the Colts on the Patriots to beat the Colts. And that number has gone from 8.5. It's up to 11 now. And they fought it at 9.5 for a long time. And then it hit 10. And then like a couple hours later, it was at 11. 90% of bets are on the Patriots. And, you know, I'm like you. My instant reaction is, well, I'm going to take the Colts plus 11. But, man, it's hard to bet against that Pats team right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. In fact, there are a lot of percentages, stealing a couple percentages off Mark Lawrence, who also, he's one of the database kings that really goes with percentages and trends, which I do, but his database is so much bigger than mine, it's amazing. He actually has a key stat of the week, and all his percentages really point towards the Patriots, much like they did against Dallas last week. And that's why I tried to get cute and said, that's fine, maybe we'll get a backdoor or something. We take the Cowboys, same exact thing. Not going to take that chance this weekend with the Colts. But I do love that over, especially just to reemphasize, since it's the biggest number on the board. But no, you're right. And AJ, you've seen me in the past, Fred, you've seen me in the past. When I see 80, 90%, I jump out there and get that dog. just can't do it yet. If I had to do anything, I would. But I'm going to play it safe, I think, and just take the over.
There's another game out there that the line is surprisingly small, in my opinion. And I know Carolina's looked pretty good so far this year, but Seattle, the games that they've had at home, they're just a force. Seattle minus -7 hosting the Panthers, who are the Panthers are a better team at home than on the road, too. Why is that number not going up past 7?
Well, it started at 5, so it has gone to 7. And every game I've seen like that this year in the pros, guys, if I had my whistle, you got the whistle there, blow it. I'm going to give you one of my pro picks. Can you believe it? It's a pro favorite. You don't see me do that much. I actually love Seattle. How about Ron Rivera, 0-6 after a bye against the spread, going cross-country. The line started at 5, went to 7, much like the Philly Saints line. Started at 5, go to 7. A lot of people say, Wooly, but that's at that 7. Well, if I see it come from 8 to 7, it's one thing. It has gone, AJ and Fred, from 5 to 7. Blow the whistle on Seattle. Going to be one of my four sides I put out on Sunday. There we go. Hey, we blew the whistle on Tennessee last week. How about those balls as a two-star?
Right.
And if you'd have gotten in on Tennessee when I put it out on the pros when it was +3, you're a winner. Went down to a pick'em. We blew the whistle on the Tennessees. Seattle is my whistleblower on Sunday.
Boy, Vols made you sweat, huh?
What's that?
The Vols made you sweat, huh?
Oh, you kidding me? Of course they we don't do this. If
nothing's
we don't
easy.
Sweat,
nothing's
you know?
Easy.
Come on now. It's all part of it.
Tell the people what specials you got going on at Fat Side of the Bacon.
Hey, it's one number. It's fatsideofthebacon.com. It's $2.49 all the way through Turkey Day. Add up the weekends. There's 7 weekends there. 7 weekends, $2.49. Jump on board. We're having one of our best years so far. Only one bad pro weekend out of about, you know, out of 4, 5, 9 weekends total. If you do the Saturdays, do the Sundays. Only one bad. We've had a couple good weeks in a row. And even though I don't have as many games, beat the games, I really like the card again this week. Starts with Seattle. You've heard my bucket of totals. But I got a couple surprises on Sunday for you also. And also got 2 or 3 no-names in college that you would never think about doing. But you'll get it at fatsideofthebacon.com. Jump on board, guys. I appreciate the time. We'll talk next week.
All right. Well, he doesn't know me if he thinks I'll think about playing those raggedy college games. That's what I look for first, man.
Yeah, that's where a lot of times that's where the value is because Vegas doesn't spend as much time on those games. And they're going to spend a lot more time working on SEC and Big 12 and Pac-12 games because that's where the action is. It's the 8 of us.
There will be a lot more bet on the Michigan State game this week than there will be on, you know, your bottom of the barrel, Fresno State versus UNLV or Buffalo Central Michigan.
Rice versus fill in the blank.
Yeah.
All right.
And even to an extent, like when you see the Wake Forest, North Carolina.
Right.
There's not going to be as much on games like that as there will be on these big games. And you can rack your brain saying Alabama A&M. Vegas spends a lot of time figuring out that number, man. They spend a lot of time figuring out Florida LSU. They're not that worried about, the UTSA Southern Miss line.
All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. I've been around sports betting
since the age of 3. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Come on. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. 2 great sports stations, 2 presets. Lock them in.
We're having lunch out on Fridays. Each Friday, John and Raheel and Unfiltered will broadcast live beginning at 10 a.m. from Nick's Place. Meet us at the best Italian food and drink spot in Houston, 2713 Rocky Ridge. Kick your weekend off right with ESPN 97.5. Little programming note tonight at 7, the HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas. These guys will be here tonight. And, let's grab a quick phone call. Joey, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, sports fellas.
Sports to you.
Had a quick question. Wanted to get your all's take on it. I know that I, in particular, wasn't super happy with how A.J. Hinch decided to use Dallas Keuchel last night, putting him in the 8th inning of a game where they're down by 2 runs. I kind of would have preferred to see him protect the lead versus, try to do damage control. Just want to get your all's take on that and your thoughts with how that was all managed. Thanks.
Well, Okay, that brought me to what I wanted to talk about anyway, because I
did,
thought...
which is why I put him on the line.
Thanks. Good call, Fred. Look at you with phone call management. Sorry, all of you who have called with stuff that doesn't lead me to where I want to go. We're ignoring you. I thought that McHugh... By the way, McHugh for three, four innings was about as sharp as he could be, too. I mean, he pitched really, really well. I wasn't necessarily in a rush to get him out of there. And if they were going to get him out of there when it was 2-0, I thought that was the time to bring in Keuchel. So I guess I sort of agree with the caller. I wouldn't have pulled him out when they did. But if I was going to pull him out, it would have been for Keuchel, not for one of your regular old bullpen scrubs. Obviously, it's easy to say that in hindsight, but I tweeted it last night at the time. I would have had a little bit longer leash on McHugh, and Fiers comes in. And you know what? That pitch that Fiers made wasn't a bad pitch. No. And if that goes an inch further to the right, you know, there's a play made on it.
Right.
And if it goes an inch further to the left, it's foul. So it just happened to go right over the bag, and people were asking if it's a, you know, if that can be replayed, and it can't, by the way. It's a judgment call. No. But
it was close. I couldn't tell even on replay, but either way, almost every one of their runs came that way.
Yeah. Except for the home run from Morales.
Right. I mean, later on when the game was, to be honest, it didn't matter to me. Once they lost the lead, the way Cueto was pitching, they weren't getting it back.
I didn't think so either.
And you still had Davis sitting in the pen there who's almost unhittable right now.
And they
now.
Didn't even have to go into the you know, the setup guys.
Yeah, I the way I would have done it, and it's kind of what I said yesterday, it's to me it's the last game of the season, all stops. As soon as it's 2-1, I would have had Fiers ready much sooner. I start the inning with Fiers. I get as much out of him as I can. Then I bring in Keuchel. I bring in McCullers for an inning if I needed to. I would have had every single one
of
those guys.
So you would have went to Fiers before Keuchel?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
See, if I was going to use Keuchel last night, I would have used him when they pulled McHugh.
See, I would have wanted him. I would have wanted Keuchel in that eighth inning spot.
Okay.
But if it got in a situation where there were base runners on, I would have brought him in then and say, okay, I'm going to win or lose right now with Keuchel.
The reality is the Astros pitching wasn't great last night.
No,
McHugh gave about 3.5 really good innings, and Tony Sipp gave an inning and a half of really good pitching. Other than that, nobody was good. I mean, it was
Pat Neshek got his guy.
Okay, you're right. Pat Neshek got his guy, but Keuchel wasn't good. Fiers wasn't good. McHugh lost his stuff at the end. I mean, it was one of those nights. And like you said, Johnny Cueto was just on. And
you know what? Astros fans should recognize that because that was Dallas Keuchel against the Yankees.
Yep. Well, and here's the other thing, and this is what I say all the time and why I struggle to think that this team, unless they add a couple guys and change up their philosophy in some way, they're limited. The Royals last night struck out 3 times.
Yeah. Philosophically, I don't mind.
Colby Rasmus struck out the same amount of time as the Royals.
I think part of that was Cueto, but this team does strike out too much. We've said it all along. I don't think you need to overhaul that because this team is obviously built for Minute Maid Park.
Right.
But you need some guys in that lineup who provide something different and who can get on base and occasionally. And you know what? I really wouldn't mind a real leadoff hitter, like a guy who can actually.
I think Altuve is a leadoff hitter. I just don't think he's a leadoff hitter.
I'd like to see him in a two spot. I'd like to see him.
He's very Biggio Bagwell playoffy.
Yeah, well, he was, and that's part of it. But I would like to see a guy with some speed who can steal some bases, but gets on base. And then if Altuve is batting second, you're talking about a guy. He's going to swing at everything, but he usually makes contact. And I think he manufactures some runs that way, and kind of push some other guys down the order. That may be too much to ask for, but I'd like to see that guy.
Well, they have Gomez is a guy who earlier in his career was a leadoff guy.
He did bat leadoff a few times when he first got over here. And, yeah, that's the thing. You're going to have him healthy for the full year, I expect. Well, I don't know if he'll stay healthy the whole year, but theoretically. And I think, you know, healthy Gomez adds a lot to this lineup and does some of the things that I'm asking for. So we shall see.
The I guess the other guy that we're that they're gonna have to make a decision on is Colby Rasmus.
I think I'd bring him back. I know it's gonna cost you $8 or $9 million, but you're not spending any money, and that's a pretty valuable guy to have. And he was terrific in the playoffs. And if you're gonna make the playoffs again,
he came
kind of guy you want.
He came on down the stretch. He's just one of those guys. I mean,
he's a fourth outfielder.
He hit .238 this year. That's a guy.
But he was also pretty clutch in several situations this year. You need guys like that.
He's essentially Chris Carter.
Although I think Rasmus was better in like ninth inning situations throughout the season. He's just a better clutch player.
I think what's funny is,
and he's better defensively.
What's funny is Carter and Rasmus both came on late in the season. Two guys that, had you asked me a month and a half ago, would they be back next year? I would have said zero chance on either one of them. And then they both had a fantastic last month and a fantastic playoffs. And now it's like, maybe they do need to bring one of those guys back.
I would bring them both back, but I'd also try to beat them out.
Okay.
Both of them. Because it's not like you're spending any money.
I mean, at the end of the day, statistically, Rasmus, Gattis, Carter, Valbuena, these are all the same guy. And I don't have a problem with bringing some of them back. You can't have that many of that same guy, is all I was saying.
Well, that's one of the things they've done, though, is built that team a specific way for a reason, and it clearly worked this year. But, yeah, I think there's some – I don't think you need overhaul. You need tweaking at this stage, and they should start tweaking. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.